going to go. You got to say something. A couple of weeks ago, we were drilling this team, saying that they got all kinds of problems. Now, all of a sudden, just one game together, and we got them back 14-game win streak, potentially, and they're going all the way.
For now, I mean, you let bygones be bygones. They didn't do...
Because we're a family, Dibs?
And yeah, and they didn't go Chicago Bulls on us with Nikola Mirotic getting his face caved in by Bobby Portis. That's a line that you can't cross, you know? He reportedly called KD the B-word, and KD lashed out, and they went back and forth.
Yeah, why don't you put up a sign? Why won't you say the word?
I don't like the word.
Really?
No,
okay.
it's a dirty word.
Is it?
It's... Say it, Jim. See?
Say it, Jim.
Please don't.
It's a female dog.
Exactly,
say it.
Right? You don't
why
need...
Not?
You know what? You don't need to say it. You can use clever language, and I know you're a big fan of language, to go around it without having to say, oh, he called him. Yeah.
Yeah, better have my money.
Interesting.
Don't act like you forgot.
Yeah.
I call the shots.
This is interesting for Matt in San Jose. Let's go to San Jose on line two.
Yeah, Matthew.
Matt, you've got an interesting take on this because I'm a big Draymond guy. How do you see his role and what the Warriors could do with it?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, guys. You know, and I'm a big Draymond fan too as well, but you got to think about the Warriors have transformed basketball with, you know, they're the ones that really introduced the ball movement, floor spacing, and it's a copycat league and everybody's doing that now. So everybody's recruiting and developing talent that fits that mold. It's the same with Draymond. You just look for a junkyard dog, the same kind of attitude, someone who's got a big caboose and can, you know, take on the big guard five position. Those guys are out there. You look in 5 years, you're going to see probably 20, 25 Draymonds all around the league. Thanks, guys. Great show.
I appreciate it.
Great call, Matt.
But he's right, but it's hard to find those guys. But if guy's going to take that role on, and that's what he's saying. He's saying you can find a guy that want to be the glue. You'll see the league trying to find Draymond Greens. And that just goes to show you, to my point, they are the nuts and bolts and are very, 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 very needed for success. You need shooters. He alluded to the Warriors.
Knockdown
changed the game.
Shooters.
Absolutely. And the Warriors had that, Daniel. They went out and got guys that could spread the floor and shoot the ball. And what do you need then? You need to give them second shot opportunities. So you get a guy that can play guard guys 1-5 like a Draymond. And now you have a guy that's saying, I don't need to necessarily shoot. I don't need to do this. I want to make sure that I can get everyone involved because the floor is spread. And that's what Draymond does. So his niche is very, very needed. So you will try to see this league try to get that.
Yeah, I think you can think about replacing Draymond Green, but why take chances? It's kind of like a pass rusher, you know? It's hard to find an elite pass rusher. And then when you don't have one, all of a sudden it's pretty glaring what you don't have. It's easy to take Draymond Green for granted when, like Jim says, the three ball is so exciting and KD is unguardable and Clay with the catch and shoot to end the half. Those are things that are sexy. What Draymond does is not always the sexiest
that's
stuff.
That's why he's the glue that I keep saying, you can't see it.
And that's why I think he's the most important piece to this puzzle, because he gets everything working. Now, the last caller said other teams are trying to find it, and it's so important. No, wait, he said he's replaceable, is what he was saying, because there are other guys who can do that and find these other people.
Because they don't look bigger.
Right? That's what he was saying. There are other
replaceable.
He's replaceable. Now, let's stay in San Jose and go to Jay.
Okay, let's go to Rapid.
Longtime Warrior fan Jay, how do you see, on line one, Jay, how do you see the role of Draymond Green? The last guy said he's a replaceable Warrior.
Mm. The last guy's wrong. There's nobody. You can't replace Draymond Green. Everybody in the league can shoot. Everybody in the league can score. You can find another scorer, but you can't find another Draymond Green. People grow up learning how to shoot. People learn basketball, learn how to score, but nobody learns to play defense the way Draymond plays defense. Nobody learns to do the dirty work the way Draymond does the dirty work. Draymond's the most irreplaceable person in the league. And I'm going to tell you one more thing. Jim, I'm from Sacramento. I live in San Jose. We love you out there. We miss you out there. You're the man, big guy. Love you.
You're a great guy, Jay. Thank you very much. You're fantastic, man. That's very nice of you. I do appreciate it.
Nice.
People have always been very gracious.
I felt a little bit like a plant now looking back.
Seriously.
Jay, this is Coz, man.
Wow.
I'm going to need you to
know.
That's what she does.
She's the best.
We call Anna top rope. Kaganakis, because she will come off the top rope on anybody.
Thank you, Jay.
When she feels it, she'll just jump high.
Man, we got all stars on the line right now. 888-957-9570. We got some of the greatest callers in FM sports history, including personal favorite on line five, if you just please would. How you doing, buddy?
You want to go there?
Let's go there,
buddy. Let's go there. Line five.
In my band? How you doing, guys? Let's go to line five, buddy.
What's happening? Happy holidays.
My man, Mitch in Jersey.
Mitch in Jersey. Jersey Mitch.
Really, the weather so far has not been too bad.
I was just going to ask you.
You guys would die over here. So these Warriors are like, they're like the Yankees. KD and Curry remind me of Derek Jeter and A-Rod. But I would take KD on my Clippers. I hope you're right. They do. How many people want to play for the Clippers? I mean, for the Lakers. Let's take him from the Lakers. But, you know, I love LeBron. He's top two, him and Will Chamberlain. But in a perfect world, and hopefully they can keep all these guys, but KD's got his MVP. These four superstars all won MVPs for the year. That'd be some team for the record, if you guys can pull it off.
I love it.
Happy holidays.
Hey, Mitch.
Thanks, buddy.
I'm a big fan of Mitch and Jersey.
No, me too.
That's why he went to him, dude.
Hey, guys, in my band.
He is a radio.com P1, right?
Without a doubt.
There is every day, every show, all day long.
They banned me.
Weekends, too.
Do we know what he does? Anybody know?
He does have a job, because he did say one day he was working and he was listening.
Yeah.
I do know he did. He does something.
I'm curious, like delivery man, something.
When I'm working one of my scrub Saturday shifts, I will ask him.
Okay.
Okay? Because that's what it is. I got time to get into. Do you want to go to Ryan and like Hayward?
No, I think we go to our other Titan on Sports Talk on line two.
Line two?
Yeah. When you look at the Mount Rushmore of 95.7 The Game callers, am I on there, buddy? He's definitely on there. And our next guest, it's the holiday book. What? We can't have Jonathan on in the holiday book?
We got to go to two.
What's up, J Money?
Oh, I miss him.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I've been listening to you guys, and you guys are hilarious, man. I mean, I can't help but call up because I heard two guys call in and said, oh, it's easy to find a Draymond Green. Dude, I've been watching the NBA for 30 years. This is the first time I've seen a Draymond Green. Draymond Green is like Magic Johnson and Rodman in one body.
Wow.
How do you find that? They don't grow on trees. I mean, for me, the most important Warrior is Steph Curry. None of this happens if not for a Steph Curry. This guy's like an angel, dude. When this is all said and done, we're going to look back at Steph Curry, and we're going to canonize the guy. Because he's the most important Warrior, and he's going to be right there with Joe Montana when it's all said and done.
Great call, Jonathan. You were just an uptick away from truly Hall of Fame status. You got canonization in there. You even got in a...
Look, I could tell. He has muscles all over his body. He's into hats. Stop posting all this ridiculous nonsense.
I mean, we got Jonathan on top of Jonathan. We got all kinds of Jonathan.
I'm speechless
That's
now.
Favorite.
Yeah. It's a good one, of course.
Oh, we're gonna win with class. We're gonna win with class.
So many. I mean, that's about as good as a caller segment gets. The only one we were missing is, hey guys, this is Roy and Martinez. So Roy, if you're out there, please, we need you to close the loop here of great callers.
When is the next time we're gonna have a Joe Lo and Dibs like listener party?
Oh, good question. We had one for the A's wild card game, which was super fun.
It was.
Super fun.
Because, honestly, aren't listeners, they're awesome when they come in and they hang and we
like,
all have a good time.
Clean, man.
Are we going to do a Super Bowl party?
We should.
7 the game Super Bowl party?
Usually not Super Bowl party because everyone already has their parties set up. And I think this show is at the level now where we could maybe have like a wild card weekend party.
It is.
That'd be awesome.
So like the Sunday doubleheader 2 weeks before the Super Bowl that day.
Yeah. Let's do it.
We'll divisional round, maybe, which is always a motorboating.
Talk to promotions.
No, we will, because our listeners, what they bring to the table.
Make it tight.
Especially the morning
make
show.
It tight.
Speaking
Tighten
of promotions,
yes.
Jim, we got a big promotion coming up.
That's right. The holiday gift grab is coming up.
Thanks, guys.
Anna, I believe, has taken a picture and tweeted out
the picture
of the holiday gift grab. Your chance to potentially, possibly, maybe
fine, Coase.
Win Christmas Day tickets, Warriors Lakers, is coming straight ahead on Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
So, yeah, these Warriors are like, they're like the Yankees. For me, the most important Warrior is Steph Curry.
The last time they met was an overtime thriller.
Durant shoots over Leonard. Got it! He hit it!
But the Warriors came up just short.
131-128 in overtime. The Warriors take the loss.
Now, the question is, what will happen next?
He got it!
Warriors. Raptors. Coverage starts tomorrow at 6. Tip-off at 7:30. Only on 95.7. The Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Spirited Power Hour. Jim Cozumel in for Joe Fortenbaugh. He's awful all week long. That was a good power hour.
My goodness. Calls were great. Text line was blowing up.
It really was. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it really was.
It's always an interesting topic about who you see value in.
Yeah.
And it's really a luxury when you have three and maybe even four guys who could be your most valuable player on a team.
You're right. You're doing this in Oklahoma City. That conversation's a short one.
It's a short one, yeah.
Right? You're doing this in Houston. It's a short one.
You know.
Sadly, you're doing this in Chicago, and I don't think you can come up with a most important.
Jeez. Are they still in the association?
I know. They might move to the G League.
But that just goes to tell you how much talent this team has collected, and most of it through the draft.
Three of the most important pieces are.
Yeah.
And the other ones they went out and handpicked.
They really did. And it goes to show you what Draymond and what Clay and what Steph. I think Steph and Draymond, even when Draymond was, all the stuff was going on with KD, you brought Steph on the road to help, you know, quiet down the storm and talk to different guys. It's awesome when you see a team has that type of luxury where they can get guys to just band together and hold the fort down. It's awesome.
All right. Well, it's 8:20 here at 95.7 The Game. You know what that means.
Ho, ho, ho.
Well, well, well. Holiday gift grab time and your opportunity to come away. It's caller number 5.
Yes.
Do we do the 888 number or the 415 number?
Yes. The 888 number.
888-957-9570. Caller number 5. 888-957-9570. Your chance, you're going to say one of us can pick the grab bag. Right? And then you also get entered into an opportunity to win Warrior-Laker tickets.
Yeah, it's incredible. So prize right now plus an entry.
Insta-prize.
Well, you don't actually get it insta, but it's an insta-win, I suppose.
Insta-win.
You're right. It's an insta. It's an insta.
And we had a good one yesterday. $150 to a spa. That was pretty cool. So caller number 5, you are going to be the winner.
Number 5.
Whoa. Caller 5?
Pretty sexy.
That's Sunny Martinez. She's a coworker. You actually can't say that anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll be at HR starting at about 10:05.
10:05.
Number 5.
Well played in the back.
Nice. Exactly. So we're looking forward to that. We're going to find out who gets to go. And what a great way to spend your Christmas day as you gear up and wait. What time is that game tipping off?
It's a 5 o'clock tip, Jim.
5 o'clock our time?
5 tip.
Yeah. That's perfect.
Number 5. Yes,
it's at 5. Thank you, Sonny. Tip times 5. Thing goes on and on. Yeah, when we get the caller, the winner, then we'll proceed accordingly. Are we doing caller 4? No, caller 5.
Number 5.
Can't get enough, right?
No, I'm really. Yeah. I can't say that either, Anna.
Number 4.
Great way for
five
everybody.
5 is better than 4.
Yeah, let's stick with 5. A great way to spend the Christmas day. You're going to have those tickets. I think it's going to be an awful lot of fun. You're going to get you register for your chance right now, right? And then we're going to announce the winner.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Are you just going to keep the tickets?
Yeah, it may be a scoop and score for the home team. Yeah, we'll qualify you, but in fact, nobody's going to win.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Somebody will win, and once line 5 is screened, we'll have that person ready to go.
And Daniel, have we seen the last of receiver at San Francisco? Is he done?
Pierre Garçon?
Pierre Garçon. Do you think he'll ever put on this uniform again, or you think after the year he's gone?
I think that's the case. I think he's going to be gone, yeah.
No way restructures.
We got a winner. We got a winner. Do we have some Falderall? We got a winner?
Some who?
Falderall.
Which is
kind of excitement, you know, a little bit of fanfare.
Fanfare. Falderall. Is that not enough?
One more time, Coach. Falderall?
Falderall. That sounds a little like rain, like heavy rain.
Well, let's bring him on.
Carlos and Hayward, thank you very much, and we appreciate you playing our game, and you are the winner. You are caller number 5 on a holiday gift grab. Now, Carlos.
All right.
Yeah, I know. You are excited about that. You get an opportunity to choose which of us, me, Coase, playing the role of Joe Fortenbaugh, Lo, Dibs, or Anna, will pick your Insta prize right now. Well, who do you want to make the choice?
Well, I'm going to have to go with my favorite character on the show.
Oh, then I guess I'll be picking...
What?
No.
Oh.
Oh, it's Lo?
Lo.
I'm sorry, you're no longer the winner. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I'm picking
number four.
Thank you. I'm picking it right now.
Hello?
I got
we're
you.
We're passing him the bucket.
I got you a good one here.
Yeah, you do. Yes, I do.
The prize has been picked.
We do have the prize picked.
Ooh, it's prize number eight.
Number eight.
Number five.
It's on the official 95.7 The Game logo.
Let me tell you
paper.
What you got, buddy. What you got? What are you getting,
congrats. Coach? You have won a pair of tickets to see Train and the Goo Goo Dolls at Shoreline Amphitheater in Mountain View in June. You can get your tickets at LiveNation.com. That's a pair of tickets to go see Train and the Goo Goo Dolls. I'm a big fan of the Goo Goo Dolls. Train's not so bad either. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
Not
like
so bad.
Carlos, congratulations. And you're also entered to potentially win two tickets to the Christmas Day game.
Yes.
Lakers and Warriors. Carlos, thank you so much for being a loyal listener and congratulations.
Congratulations, Carlos.
Way to go, buddy.
Thank you.
Awesome, man. Thanks for listening.
Hope you get those Laker tickets.
What's your favorite radio station?
95.7 The Game. Holla.
My
man.
Promo. Instant promotion.
Yeah, it's go ahead and take that right to promotions. Carlos, let's put him on hold.
Make sure Carlos gets those Laker tickets, all right?
We got
Warriors-Lakers.
Oh, because then he'll take you because you're his favorite? Is that what you're saying?
No. I just want the guy to get a go. I don't need him to take me. Daniel, why don't you
say
that?
By making sure that he gets it, that would violate a number of our contest rules. You realize that?
Of course, Daniel. Okay. I was just being facetious.
Let's make sure that this, like all our contests, is conducted fairly and by the rules.
Why are you looking above at board. Them back there or something like I was
we
really
have
mean?
Got the great What's Greg going? Papa What's coming Daniel? On at the bottom of the hour.
Thank you, Cole, for switching and
coming up in a couple of minutes. We got a lot to discuss with Pop and a lot going on. Obviously, we'll talk Warriors after what they did last night.
I'm going to ask him a little Niners, too. I want to see, you know, is PR gone? That's going to be mine.
That's a fair question.
I got to ask him because Pop knows. Is Pierre Garçon, is he done? And if so, do you see this guy still playing in the league? Could he come back and restructure his deal? Could he come back for less money and play a lesser role? Do you still need his leadership? I got a couple questions asked. But I guess this guy was a pretty good receiver in Washington. Unfortunately, this year and last year, he hasn't necessarily played up to standards. But, you know, will they bring him back or in a lesser role?
I have another 49er question that has to do with the quarterback position.
Yeah.
This is based on Anna's research that she did, pointing out that Nick Mullins had thrown for 414 yards in Seattle, while Kirk Cousins, last night's Monday night quarterback, only threw for 138 yards. Nick Mullins, we're starting to see more and more each week, do some pretty darn good things. Now, I don't think he's going to challenge Jimmy Garoppolo, but is that the guy you keep as the backup, or is that the guy you hope someone else sees something in and can become a movable piece? Can become the tradable guy.
Hell, because remember, Minnesota, right?
C.J. Beathard cost you. He cost you a third rounder because that's where you drafted him. Mullins is an undrafted guy, Southern Mississippi, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Is that the piece you flip to try to get something back that's valuable?
I don't think so, because ultimately you want to take care of your team first and foremost. And if you assess Nick Mullins as being better than C.J. Beathard, and from what I've seen in a small sample size of both, obviously bigger for Beathard than for Mullins, I think you see that Mullins is a better quarterback. He makes better decisions. The ball comes out of his hand quicker. He's a little bit more mobile. I think Mullins is better than C.J. Beathard. So you want to keep the better of the two, regardless of the fact that you used a third-round pick on Beathard and Mullins basically came for free. I don't think you worry about that aspect of it. You keep the better guy, and that's Nick Mullins.
I'm going to be surprised if Beathard doesn't play again this season. I really believe, Daniel, that you're going to see Beathard again.
Yeah, I said that a couple weeks ago, that they should do that.
Yeah.
Let him go out there at least for one more game to showcase him and remind people around the league that he's a serviceable, if not pretty good, quarterback.
And no question, because I believe that he is. And I think if you look at the competition, you look at what he's going to be able to do, you say, hey, look, we're going to move you. We want to put you in a situation, because usually teams keep three quarterbacks, guys. So if you are, trade one and then you're going to draft one. So you're going to end up drafting another quarterback. So, but if you have some trade value because you got some serviceable backups, hell, then do it. So I think that you do need to see Beathard again. I'm with Dibs on that. You play the guy again.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Now, is part of the reason we think that Mullins is better, a little bit of recency bias? That's Joe's big issue, recency bias. But number two, because when we did see C.J. Beathard play, he was often on his back. That guy got beat up. He got roughed up badly all the time, and that's essentially why he lost his position because he got banged up and they had to put Mullins in there. Have we seen C.J. Beathard have an equal chance to what Nick Mullins has been able to have?
Yes, I think we have, because it's basically the same offensive line that Nick Mullins is playing behind that C.J. Beathard played behind. And I think the big criticism of Beathard was that he held the ball too long. And you saw that, and that's partly why he took so many hits. Nick Mullins has taken many hits as well, but C.J. Beathard was taking a beating, in part because the offensive line struggled, and he also played against some really good foes early on in the year. But I think it's more of a case that Mullins just gets the ball out of his hand quicker.
We're also, everyone's fully understanding, though, this is Jimmy Garoppolo's team. He's got to come back. He's got to be the leader. He's got to be the guy, because they paid him that way and because they really kind of hung, Kyle Shanahan has hung his name on Jimmy Garoppolo.
His shingle, yeah.
And that's it. That's going to be the direction.
It is. And I don't necessarily, I was, believe it or not, Jimmy, the guys, Joe and Dibs, really wanted to crucify me because I was in that pew in that church where I don't think they should have paid him that type of money. I think the quarterback position is overvalued. I think that people get it wrong a lot. And I think they put too much glue because they want to have a face of a franchise and everyone thinks it should be the quarterback. They want the choir boys. And I just think that you shouldn't look at it like that. It can be a defensive player. It can be an offensive player. I just think the league should not be making these quarterbacks, every quarterback, the face of every single organization.
All righty. We move it along here at 8:30. You know what that means. That means that it's time for the Greg Papa Report. It's brought to you by Gelati Construction Company, celebrating over 100 years of teamwork, solutions, and excellence. My man Greg Papa here on Joe Lowe and Dibs. Hey, Greg, how you doing this morning? Everything going well?
Coach. How are you?
Doing fantastic, sir. We're talking about the 49ers. I want to stay right there. As we see what Nick Mullins is doing, and we saw what C.J. Beathard had done, is one of those guys, and which one would it be, who is flippable for Kyle Shanahan to get something for them where they still feel they have the other guy in under contract who can be a backup to Jimmy Garoppolo?
No, I wouldn't do that.
No?
I don't think you'd get a lot back in return. I mean, if you're not going to get a day one or day two draft pick here, they're probably not going to get a whole lot. So, and, you know, people are looking at the draft. I think it's a weak quarterback draft class. We'll have to look at it, obviously, closer after the year's over and before April 25th. But I think you're going to need both of them. I mean, you wind up playing all three this year, and Nick is getting better. I think you just bring him to training camp. You go through the offseason, the organized team activities, and the mini camps, the mandatories and the other ones, and then you roll into training camp and you just have an open competition for him. And clearly Jimmy is going to be your starting quarterback. The other two guys are not close to him in the overall skill set, mainly on the unscripted play, just the ability of Jimmy to keep plays alive and make big plays, just being a great athlete. The other guys are decent at that, but not nearly at the level of Garoppolo, not even close. So I wouldn't trade anybody. Guys get hurt at that position. I think you're comfortable with both of them as a backup. The one thing about Mullins that it just dawned on me listening to him speak to the media after the game, and his vivid recall of plays and moments and play calls, not that CJ can't do it, but I haven't heard him do it. And I think it's just a different personality, and you can see where the comfort level is what the head coach would have with Nick Mullins, where he's almost got a coach's type mind, and that is required to play quarterback in the NFL. You don't have to always articulate it, but it's nice to be able to stand up in front of the room and get on the whiteboard or in the huddle and be able to explain to guys like a coach what their role is on every play and know what everybody does. So sometimes we look at it, you know, the arm strength. Beathard's a third-round pick. Mullins is an undrafted player. Beathard clearly has more arm strength, but sometimes at that position, leadership and just overall being able to rise a team up and have them all play at a level that's higher than that you would think individually is something that's hard to quantify, impossible to quantify, and it's something the coach has to look at. And as time goes on, I think that's what's been most impressive about Nick Mullins.
Pop, is George Kittle an elite tight end, or is just this the system, and is this because lack of weapons, or the quarterbacks just look for him? How do you surmise what he's been able to do?
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing about tight end, Lo, is you look at it in different segments of the game, and for years it was just an inline blocker, and then, you know, could you run a route and be available in the pass game. Well, that's all changed. You know, now you have guys that I call detached and in line. And, you know, detached is where you're a glorified big wide receiver. This guy's both. And it's obvious that he's able to run effective routes. He's not quick in short area, but he does have breakaway speed. The guy ran a 4.52, and I see guys in the secondary not be able to run him down.
Right.
He's at a 71-yarder, an 82-yarder, an 85-yarder. That's uncommon. But then he doesn't have short area quickness, but he does know how to defeat man coverage with his movement skill, and he also knows zone. He knows how to settle down. And then he's obviously very good run after catch. So I don't think he's quite on the level of a Zach Ertz or a Travis Kelce as a pass catcher, but he's damn close, and he does have the ability to run after catch. But what sets him apart, and this is something you would love and Marty would love, is his inline blocking. Sure. And in the second half of the game, I pretty much put the binoculars on him the whole game because I just wanted to see what he was. I was watching the whole play, but I was really concentrating on what he did every play. And their plays, you know, most of the time in the second half, they kind of hunkered down. They tried to run the clock out. They ran on first down almost every time in the outside zone. And he is just a really good take on full body blocker in the run game. He's not a half a body, a move guy like a Kelce where you wham a guy on half his body. He will take you on and move you. He's a tremendous blocker. I think they had a good plan how to, you know, never give Von Miller a short corner or, you know, very seldom. So he's the full deal.
Yeah.
And now when you start getting pieces back like Jerick McKinnon, the way Jerick McKinnon can be used as a chess piece to match him up on linebackers, and then the same thing with Kittle. Yes, you like your X and your Z, and your wide receivers have to win. But those other positions that are difficult for their defenses to match up with, running backs and tight ends, you've got elite guys. And then you bring, obviously, Breida in. This guy Fred Wilson Jr. is interesting. Mostert's more than just a great gunner. Now you start to see those five eligibles in the pass game that Kyle can utilize because they play to different skill sets. And so to answer your question, yes, George Kittle is an elite player. You wouldn't have to pay him right now. I think you'd wait one more year. Although, you know, he was not a first-round draft pick, so you only have him under contract for 4 years, not five as a rookie, so you may want to look at it. Maybe this offseason you engage him in conversation, but it would be the next year. But yes, when you look at the whole package of route running, pass catching, inline blocking, you tell me, Lo, which one of those great pass catching tight ends blocks is nearly as well as George Kittle?
I can tell you Gronk was, but
he used to. He used to be able to.
Yeah, he used to.
His body's breaking down.
No question. He is breaking up. I think Kittle is. That's why I had to ask you, because I know you watch that position, and I know you want to watch a guy, how he gets in and out of routes and his footwork. And you alluded to his breakaway speed, maybe not his slide on the feet in and out of certain things. Do they have – I know you talked about the running backs, but do they have a chain mover? I understand the running backs they have game changers. But do they have a chain mover that you can look at on this roster and say, he's going to get you that 4 yards in a cloud of dust? I know they have guys, big explosive running backs, but yeah. Do they have a game changer, a chain mover on this team?
Yeah, they have too many small guys. I mean, obviously, Cheetah, Matt Breida, the Cheetah, just came out and, you know, he was good last year, but he really embraced the outside zone. The guy's a natural at it, McKinnon and Mostert, and they're too small. I mean, they're fine. You'd like one or two of them.
Sure.
But you got to have a big-bodied guy, and that's where Jeff Wilson Jr. comes into play. He's listed at 190, I think, but he did bulk up to 205. He does run with power. He's more. If you notice the game on Sunday, they ran more inside zone than outside zone because Denver's just so fast, and their linebackers are pretty good in the run game, both Chubb and Vaughn. So yeah, that's the one area I think you got to look at. And Alfred Morris, he's obviously, as the year goes along, the reason he was a street free agent going into August is now readily apparent. He was a good player in the beginning of the year, but his body's breaking down. He just doesn't have any juice, does not have any speed. So you've got to get, you know, a big-bodied 215, 220-pound back to be your pounder on the inside zone. Could it be Jeff Wilson Jr.? He's improved dramatically from August. There's no doubt. He's running hard. He's running with purpose, but he's not quite – big, but he could add some weight in the offseason. He's a candidate, but there's no question. In addition to McKinnon, to Breida and to Mostert, you have to add that kind of back you're talking about.
And certainly you need to upgrade the receiving core at some spots. Pierre Garçon placed on IR. His career with the Niners will be 16 games played, 16 games missed, $22.75 million over two seasons. Does this failed signing deter them from going out and trying to find a free agent wide receiver?
Hell no. You got to go get one, and you got to draft one. You need one. And I, you know, to call it a failed signing, Dibs, I think his body just broke down.
It's still a failed signing. I mean, $22.75 million.
I understand.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, it's not enormous money. And when he came in for Kyle's first year, you didn't have anybody on the roster. I knew Marquise Goodwin from Buffalo outside. I honestly thought Garçon the first year was going to be targeted like 200 times. I'm like, who else do you have on this team? And he was forceful and powerful, kind of an Anquan Boldin type player. And then he got hurt. That hit he took in Philadelphia, he wasn't the same player. And he just never really had any in-and-out change of direction juice all year. And I think the first play of the year, that backside slant in Minnesota, when he landed hard on his ass, I don't think he ever recovered. I think he got up and he was, oh, what's going on? And he just did not have the movement skill. So this is not like the other sports. These guys get hurt. And a lot of it is just this guy's had no history of injury in his career. He just gets hurt. It's a viciously violent game.
Sure.
And guys get hurt. And that's why you got to stockpile. But to answer your question, no. You got to go out and get more. And I think that's the one area. Dante Pettis, who is he? Where is he? Where do you want to play him? Richie James Jr., he's got to get tougher. He's killing me. On punt returns, kick returns, he's going down before anybody contacts him. Mm. He looks so good in August. Now he looks frail. Trent Taylor has got to get bigger and physically better. So in that wide receiver room, who can you count on? Goodwin's just not available. And that's the problem he had in Buffalo. And he's having it here. I think he could be an explosive Tyreek Hill player, but you're never going to get there if you don't play and you don't practice with your teammates. So the wide receiving room is wide open. I think tight end, maybe, you know, Selleck time may be up. You maybe add another inline blocker there. The running back room, we talked about Juszczyk. The offensive line, you got to solidify right guard, I think, long term. Otherwise, you're okay. But you gotta go out and look at the wide receiver room in detail and not just do it through a free agency, you know, possibly trade. You don't like to give up any assets to do that. And then you got to look at the draft. There's no question you got to improve that room.
Pop, when you're watching this Niner team and you think about the league and what you've seen in the last couple weeks, this is my time of football season. Have your opinion changed of where the league's going? And we do not see it's my time because the run game. If you look at Seattle, you look at Chicago, you look at these teams that are able to run the ball. Now Kansas City don't have Kareem Hunt. You look around the league, you look at, you know, the Rams. December and January is the game changing, and why it happened to these high-powered offenses? Do you think that these three teams that everyone looked at, the Rams, Kansas City, you know, and the Patriots, are they still the front runners? The Saints, rather, are they still the front runners when you're talking about winning a Super Bowl?
Well, this is fascinating. And I go back even to the 85 Bears, and I wonder, they were a great defense. But some of the wind patterns off the lake, I remember that one game against the Rams when the ball's blowing sideways. You know, if you got them into a warm weather climate, would they be that difficult to deal with? And then, you know, you have to build your team based on where you play. And the New Orleans Saints are a dome team. The L.A. Rams are a warm weather team. The Chicago Bears are a howling wind defense sledgehammer team. They've always been. So, you know, watching that Ram game, and I jumped in, you know, middle of the game and the sound was down, and I watched every play. That Bears defense is relentless. Can they beat the Rams in L.A. when it's not, you know, 20 degrees and it's 80 degrees? I think they can. But this is the real quandary on how you build your offensive football team. You know, do you want that? I think a lot of it is the quarterback and his skill set, and the Bears quarterback is just limited. They built it the right way. But I still think if you have to go into that dome in New Orleans, you better score. You better get into the 30s. And now can the Bears go there and keep them in the 20s? Or, you know, hell, the teens? I don't know. I mean, Dallas, you know, was able to shut them down, and we look at it at a short week, but the reality is New Orleans played on Thanksgiving. So they had a full week that week to get ready. It was not a Sunday-Thursday. It was a Thursday to Thursday. So that, what you hit on is really the fundamental philosophical question as you build an offense. And it's just, they're the warm weather teams, the 49ers, you know, the dome teams, they have built it with offense. Indy, obviously, with Peyton. I remember that Super Bowl when I was starting to think that, you know, you really got to score in this league. You got to get into the 30s, hell, maybe even the 40s and 50s to win now. I still think those teams will be difficult to stop, but you pretty much have to build your team around your weather, climate, and your quarterback, and also your defense. And I think that's going to be the great debate. And I could even throw Baltimore in there if they sneak in and beat out Pittsburgh. They got to, you know, that was a great matchup with Kansas City. But that's ultimately what I think we're looking at here. Will it be the Rams and the Saints, or will the Bears be able to impose their defensive will come January?
The Greg Papa Report, it continues here on 95.7 The Game. Joe Lowe and Dibbs, name of the program. I'm Jim Cozumel in for Joe Fortenbaugh, who's off this week. I got to circle around over to the Warriors from last night. I'll ask you just about last night's game because it was the return of Draymond Green. What was more impressive, Steph's overall greatness, but the way Draymond came right back and was so important to getting everyone involved offensively?
Steph. I mean, Draymond's Draymond. He's amazing. He's hardly played. You know, it's the first home game he's had since the shouting match at Staples, and he hadn't played a home game in 5 weeks. But Draymond does what he does. He played. I thought he played fine, and his mindset was to clear a defensive rebound, get a stop, and push, and he did that. He's a little rusty. He's going to get better and better. But, Coz, it just dawned on me in the second half, and I mean, really the whole game and the whole year, but in particular the second half, where Steph Curry is at physically now, his perpetual motion offensively. He doesn't need the ball. I think he's a better player off the ball than on the ball. He knows exactly where he wants to run to. He is impossible to guard. And the usage of his left hand has always been amazing. Steve Nash had an incredible left hand, maybe because Steph has that wrap on his left wrist that I'm watching it more. But how many scoop layups is he making with the left hand? He is just so much more skilled than anybody in the history of the NBA. When you look at passing, dribbling, and shooting, it's not close. He's just so much better than everybody. And now his movement skill to get to any spot on the floor, who knows if he'll win the MVP. It doesn't matter. But he's better than he's ever been, and he's picked it up. He had one bad half the first game out against the Pistons on that Saturday. He wins the Player of the Week award. His second, third, and fourth games back, he wins the Player of the Week award. Then last night he drops 38. Steph Curry is playing amazingly well right now.
Absolutely incendiary pop when he steps on the floor. And with Toronto coming in tomorrow, how much do you think revenge or payback weighs on their mind after they were edged out in Canada earlier?
It always does for them. You know, there's certain games, I think, Dibs, when you go through 82, you got to motivate yourself. They were clearly motivated from Milwaukee on Friday, and that was just a beatdown. They didn't have a 20-2 run on them, but they outscored them every quarter. They suffocated them. They were never distracted. They stayed on the game with a purpose, and they crushed them. And I think you're going to see the same thing. I mean, they took that team to overtime without Steph and Draymond. They're both back. You know, Durant's got to reassert himself here a little bit. He did not play well in Milwaukee. He always plays well, but he didn't make shots last night. He was in and out. I think it's, you got to get back to that rhythm. You know, I think Steph wanted to reassert himself since he's come back. They're going to be fine. This is going to be a good game. I do think Milwaukee has more maturity. Toronto has more maturity than Milwaukee, and it's just because they brought in those two champions from San Antonio. Not only Kawhi, but Danny Green is a tremendous all-around player, and he's healthy again. So I think they circle certain dates, and we've circled this one for a while, obviously since they lost to him in Toronto, even before that when Toronto got off to the great start. So, yeah, I think they're going to play with a purpose tomorrow night and look to send the whole league a message. You may have the best record in the NBA, but don't ever doubt who's the best team in the NBA.
Sure. Pop, does Amari Cooper's success, who does it hurt more, Carr or Gruden? And were you shocked with the move that Raiders made, letting Reggie go?
No. I think we all knew Reggie was on borrowed time. It's just he and John are completely different people. And John's going to have to bring, you know, I think a whole staff of people in to help him, to assist him. Because if he's going to coach it at that, you know, at the level that John coaches it, this is a really hard. You got guys working 12 months out of the year on college draft. And to just jump in January, that's hard to do. So he's going to have people he trusts and also people that tell him you're wrong And we're not trading Khalil Mack. I'm sorry, we're not doing that. That's bad business. So he's going to have to get, you know, people that are he respects and that can tell him no. Honestly, Lo, I think it's on Amari. I don't know why he didn't play to that level here every game. But he obviously has the ability. He just seems like he's running his routes harder. He's really changing direction. He's cutting. It looks like a pro day, and he's trying to impress to be drafted. And I why didn't he do that here? It's not his personality. His mom was a hard worker growing up. I know he's a hard worker. He's a quiet guy. I don't know. The ability, you saw it all the time. I could see it on the practice field. I saw it in games. I thought he was in a short list of the greatest wide receivers in the league. But he wouldn't give it to you. And, you know, physical play would take him out. So what's the deal here? After a certain period of time, you have to wonder, does the guy love the game? Is he tough enough to play the game? Because he's a marked man. They're all going at him. They know who he is. And if he's just going to cower down. So I'm not going to blame other people. I'm going to blame him. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know why he's a better player there. He had the ability to do it every game here. And it's not like basketball where you're playing 4 out of 5 nights or 5 out of 7. They don't do that anymore, but they used to. And I don't know. But I'm not going to blame the quarterback. What was it about Derek that held Amari back? What was it about any coach? They tried to feature him, whether it was Todd Downing or Bill Musgrave or John. They tried. So I think when you look back on it, Lo, if Amari's honest with himself, I'm not going to blame any of those other people. It's me. This is my career and my ability and why somewhat of my supreme skill level, like Steph Curry, gives that to you every night. He may miss shots, but he's not going to try. I think Amari needs to look in the mirror. And, you know, Jerry Jones is going to pay him. They're in love with him now, what he's done for this team. They'll give him an enormous contract.
I hope the Niners get him. Hopefully he gets free agent.
He's going to be hard to buy. And Jerry will frame. He's not going to let him go. I'd love to have him here. But he's got to look in the mirror and go back and watch those dreadful Raider games. And I could give him a list of them.
I would watch it with
you. The Thursday game in Kansas City when he just quit because he got pounded early in the game. I'd give you a list of them. I know where the first game against Pac-Man Jones, he's got to look at those games and say, I'm embarrassed by that. I could never perform like that again. And now you look at the good stuff and you think, wow, he's capable of being the most dominant player on the field every single game. So I'm not going to blame anybody else. He shouldn't either. Why he did not perform at that level, I'm not going to say every time, but give you that effort every time and the production most of the time, it's on him.
All right, Pop, we appreciate it. What do you and Bonte have coming up today?
No idea, Coach.
All right, that's
no
what I
idea.
Like.
I'm going to show up at 12 o'clock and we'll figure it out.
Sling some guns. It's just gunsling, baby. That's
JP Morosi, I know, is coming on.
Oh, that'll be good.
Logan Murdoch, our guy from the Bay Area News Group, who we groomed, Coz, at NBC
yes,
Sports
we
Bay
did.
Area.
Logan's a good man.
The guy dressed like a slob around us.
Back when he was a sophomore. Let's not try to take credit for the Logan Murdoch, who I had under my wing back in 2009.
I actually called one of his high school games. He was a quarterback. And he'd show up for work with us, Cozy. He was a slob, and now he's got a nice clothing allowance.
Pop, I believe I did sideline for
did
that
you?
Very game at Berkeley High.
Was that the game we were in the crane?
I believe it was. I believe it was absolutely sideways pouring rain, and I got to be your man on the track. Back to you, Greg.
Those are the days, boys.
That was bringing you coffee, Pop.
Berkeley and Logan, I believe, that night.
It was a fun game. I remember doing the game in a crane.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nasty. I've done great games.
Felt like Bear Bryant
before.
Watching practice at Tuscaloosa. Yeah.
If anybody has that halftime hit, go ahead and burn it for me.
All right, Greg. Thanks, man. We'll listen this afternoon.
Have a good one, guys.
12 noon. There you have it. The great Greg Papa on the Greg Papa Report. It's brought to you by Gelati Construction Company, celebrating over 100 years of teamwork solutions and excellence.
Yeah, Logan Murdoch is in the Dibley coaching tree, and only because he's gone on to be successful. Had he fizzled out, then I would have left him for the two of you.
We would we had to unlearn him some of those things you taught him.
Yeah,
we built him back up after
Thank
that.
You.
He does a great job. He does a great job covering the Warriors. He really does. I know there are a lot of people who do wonderful stuff, and the Warriors have a lot going on, a lot of media. And Logan gets some good nuggets in there. So,
but
congrats.
Dibs don't get the credit that he is. He brought Anna. You know, think about Anna's radio show. Dibs is the one.
Good
who
old top
it.
Rope. Good old
I
top
mean,
rope.
Top rope. Kaganakis.
He got top. He's the one who brought in top rope. I love that name. Top rope. And Gianna.
Gianna
I mean,
Franco.
You think
yes.
about what Dibs has been able to do for the station. I mean, the guy should get a raise. That's, I mean, he's
you
brought
know,
in.
You can go ahead and slow that down. I'm appropriately paid. I don't need you to.
You and I.
I you. you
Boys.
Sorry, Jim.
Will we move? Can we get this little?
We can, but first.
But will we?
Please. Would you please power rank your Warriors beat reporters for me? I know Monte Poole would be your number one because he's your coworker.
Yeah, he's off the board.
Take
actually.
Monte out. I say Monte just playfully. It's Monty Poole. I've known Monty a long time.
Monte Poulet?
You've got we.
Oui. Is that the French?
Pierre Garçon, au revoir. By the way,
respect, guys. Respect.
Yeah,
I might have to have Anthony Slater on because he's joining us pretty soon.
Yeah,
he's at 9:10.
Got to be up there.
Who's got the biggest Steph crush? Is it Papa? Does anyone have a bigger Steph crush than Papa?
Perhaps Marcus. I wrote a book on M. Thompson.
That's pretty close. Both of those guys, they're pretty smoochy.
And I love MT too. Yeah. Smoochy. Death to smoochy.
You know?
Robin Williams, right? Death to smoochy?
I can't remember. Yeah.
Not one of his popular.
No.
It wasn't. But, yet I digest.
Please. Well done, Jim.
I would say possibly Papa's love affair with Steph is pretty high on the board.
Sure.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Can you blame him?
No.
He's the most skilled player in the history of the game.
He is.
I know, mm-hmm. but Greg doesn't smooch a lot of people. He gets pretty smoochy when it comes to Steph Curry.
He loves some KD. He's mean about his talent.
But he kind of gets otherworldly when he starts talking about Steph.
He wasn't very smoochy talking about Amari Cooper a few months ago.
No.
That was the opposite of smoochy.
He had some issues with Amari.
I was kind of shocked because you look at certain guys and you put them in certain situations and they'll have success. You look at certain things here. I've seen games where Amari Cooper's open and don't go. The ball's not there, or he fills in. So you get guys that become a little lazy, or they become okay. They're not. The ball's not coming my way. And so, as a pro, you can't think that way. So I understand that. But there's been times where you look and say, what are they doing? What is this concept? What are we trying to do? When you have a guy that's dominant and you watch him in and out of the routes. We're on this very show, and I said this guy is going to have 800 yards, 1,000. People looked at us when he left. I said that because I watched enough of Amari Cooper to know that he was going to do that. And right now, he's already at 900 and some yards. It's crazy that I called this. I said that this guy would do that when he left because I saw the guy in and out of routes, and I've seen him open on so many different situations. So it's good to see this guy having some success.
Is he used any differently by the Cowboys and the Raiders used him, though? Is he a guy, are they using him in the slot more in Dallas? Are they targeting him more? Was he double-teamed more with the Raiders?
He's doubled here. I just think that you have a better running game in Dallas. And
Nice Guy Steven is, I think you're down on him, Nice Guy Steven. You're down on Amari Cooper. He was just giving me the head shake.
Not at all. Completely happy for Amari Cooper, as a matter of fact.
But is he used any differently now? You're Raider guy. You're Raider Steven.
Not in my opinion.
No?
He's still put in motion and used it mainly with slants, which is what the Raiders tried to do with him. They just didn't make it happen. Papa didn't know. I don't know either. But I'm glad that he's getting 200-plus yard games now.
It's on my fantasy team, Dibs. I know that everybody wants to know that.
Are we paying off the tease that you delivered like 2.5 hours ago about 280 yards and 640 yards, or are we going to have Nice Guy Steven jumping to do it?
I thought Steven was going to do it.
I thought Steven was going to actually bring some material there.
Well, but this is the greatest tease that Lowe has ever done, right? It was a great tease.
Awesome tease.
Right? You want to go give it up?
Yeah.
Tell everyone the tease.
Yeah. I said, name a player, mm-hmm. 240 yards in six games.
Mm-hmm.
And in another six games, 642.
Ooh. Allen Robinson for the Chicago Bears.
That was him. How'd you know? No. It's Amari
I was going to say OBJ. It's Amari Cooper, right?
And those numbers,
it's Amari.
It's Amari. And those numbers are, it's pretty incredible, though, when you see what he's able to do. And it's a trust. It's trust. You see the young quarterback, Dak, in Dallas, close his eyes and throw the ball up and hope that Amari can go run under it and make a play. He's able to do that. And it's just, it's interesting just watching it. Go ahead, Anna.
Oh, no, go ahead. Finish up.
No, that's all.
You're done?
I thought you had your finger up.
I did something when you're done here. From the 408, a little something from the Chilton Autobody text line. Who is more smoochy, Papa on Steph or Low on LeBron?
So that could be our tease when we continue.
Why'd you go to her, Jim?
888-957-9570 or 95795 in the Chilton Autobody text line. Top your
bro?
Vote counts.
Top bro.
Your vote counts here. Who's more smoochy? Papa on Steph or Low on LeBron? We'll get your answers to that.
Oh, my God.
Plus Anthony Slater, plus the great Jamal Wilkes joining us in the 9 o'clock hour here on Joe Low and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
95.7 The Game and Alaska Airlines present the Hawaii for the Holidays Getaway. We're sending you and three guests to the Aloha State this holiday season. All you have to do is go to 95.7thegame.com right now and register. Listen tomorrow as Jolo and Dibs call out one of the registered names at 7:20 a.m. If you hear your name, call back within 9 minutes and 57 seconds to qualify. It's the Hawaii for the Holidays Getaway, courtesy of Alaska Airlines, with nonstop flights from the Bay Area to Hawaii. Visit them today at alaskaair.com.